Thanks for listening to the Best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for The Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to The Best of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
Let's kick some ass.
Oh, God, I can't wait. I've been looking forward to this show.
Yes.
Because you and I have something in common.
We do.
Yeah.
It's about the Lakers? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, it's something about the Lakers. Because I believe we're the only two in L.A. who are willing to speak out against the Lakers when it needs to be done.
Yes.
And it's going to be a rough ride the next 3 hours for Laker fans listening to this show.
No doubt about it. And if you're just joining us and you don't know what's going on, basically today the Lakers said, we're pulling out of this because it's ridiculous. They want everything in their uncle for this trade with Anthony Davis. And, Jonas, I don't know about you. I love the way the Pelicans played this because basically they were never going to make a deal with the Lakers, right? But they wanted to see how desperate. So, yeah, pile it on. How many? Who are you going to give up? You're going to give up everybody. Kuzma and Ingram and Ball.
Yep.
And who else? I mean, it was like a slew of people.
Oh, I mean, Rondo was thrown in there. Beasley was reportedly thrown in there. Two first-round draft picks. And they wanted more.
Right. And then they said, yeah, two first-round picks. No, give us four first-round picks. How's that? And then so today, to save a little face, Magic goes, we're pulling out of this or whatever. And I get it. But I love what the Pelicans did. And people don't understand. They think this whole world is about LeBron James and doing what works for him. And it's not. The Pelicans have a business. They have a fan base. Why in the world would you let the Lakers punk you, take your best player, and basically punk you, and then they want to give you all of these players that are so good that they're easy to part ways with them. So when they didn't have LeBron James, that cast of potential that they're talking about, Jonas, they won 35 games last year, and they haven't been that impressive when LeBron James was out,
right,
and hadn't been hurt.
Yeah.
So that's what you're going to sell to people in New Orleans? I mean, talk about a bad week. First, a bad 2 weeks. First, they get jobbed out of the Super Bowl. Then their best player says they don't want to be around, right, and he wants out of town. And then you're eating your gumbo and there's mouse hair in it. I mean, it doesn't get any worse than that.
Is this as bad as when Brian Williams from NBC said he saw a corpse floating
exactly
across his hotel in New Orleans?
Just about
which
as bad.
Was completely made up, but just a complete lie.
And if the Pelicans GM made that trade, he would be floating alone. I mean, come on.
Okay, because there's so many layers to it. Just focusing on New Orleans, this is clearly a team who feels scorned by their best player, and so they're going to rake them over the coals. You know this. If you do something to piss off your wife or your lady or your fiance or your girlfriend,
they're not going to make life good for you.
No. You can buy them flowers, but there's no guarantee those flowers are enough. That's when jewelry gets involved, potentially cash gets involved, potentially the purchase of an automobile gets involved.
Don't you remember when Kobe bought that $4 million bracelet?
Yeah, hello. That wasn't even enough. He got a tattoo afterwards.
Yes.
That's how far in debt he was with his wife. So they feel like we got burned, we got embarrassed, so not only are we going to not cater to the Lakers' demands, even though if I were the Pelicans, all things being equal, I would do the deal, because that's a lot in return
for
one player.
I get, you can't look at it that way. It's you got to remember, you have a business, people could turn on you down there and be like, wait a minute, the Lakers just came, punched you in the face, and here it is. And you caved and gave Anthony Davis what he wanted. It sets a terrible precedent. And I'm telling you, other players have asked for trades. I remember when Brett Favre wanted a trade.
Yes.
From Green Bay. Where did he want to go? Minnesota. They said, no.
And
we're not trading you inside our own division. We're trading you to the AFC
right,
and the Jets. And now he went there on his own. He got there from the Jets, but he didn't go there from Green Bay.
And that's why I said, all things being equal, I would do the deal. If there wasn't this personal animosity, I would do the deal. Would you do the deal if there wasn't this personal animosity?
So much stuff in there. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff to try to turn down. But you know what I'm saying,
yeah,
right?
Of course, and I agree with you. So the fact that New Orleans is saying, look, You want to fool around on us. You want to play games with us. Screw you. We're not catering to anybody. We've still got control here. And although it feels like everybody's going to bow to LeBron James and bow to the LA Lakers and the great Magic Johnson, who's just such a dynamite guy and does such a great job, the Pelicans are like, look, we've got a little bit of leverage here. We're squeezing it.
And
I love it.
We're going to be petty as hell.
Yep.
We are petty. And I don't blame them one bit. Everybody who thinks, and here's the other part. Anthony Davis isn't even the best fit for LeBron. And guys who have the big guys who have gone to play with, you know, play with LeBron, how's that worked out? Ask Chris Bosh, who went from 21-12 to a third option standing there on the perimeter. How about also in Cleveland, Kevin Love? Kevin Love was a star in Minneapolis.
LeBron is where big men go to die.
Absolutely.
Yep.
And this is how desperate they are because there's nobody out there on the horizon. And they're looking around going, we got to get somebody. And even if they got Anthony Davis, that wouldn't be enough. You would still have to go get another guy who could shoot threes and be out there. You still need another player.
And this whole narrative that, oh, you know, we don't blame Anthony Davis. New Orleans didn't do enough to keep him around and keep him happy. Didn't they trade for Boogie Cousins? Last I checked, that's a pretty damn good player.
And last year, do you remember what they did? They swept their first-round playoff series, and then they even won one game against Golden State in the second round. So they had a nice run. I thought Anthony Davis without Boogie Cousins was better. More space for him. I think before it was too clogged, you know what I mean, with the two big guys. So I'm just saying to myself, what happened to all of a sudden? I gave my all to the organization, and now I want to move on.
Yes.
Crazy.
That's total BS. And so the fact that New Orleans, again, is squeezing the leverage, whatever little bit of leverage they have, I'm totally okay with it. This whole Magic Johnson coming out and saying, you know, we're going to pull back on this because we don't think this is a serious negotiation. Magic, toothpaste is out of the tube. You've already released every name of every player that was involved in this trade, and now you got to deal with the mess afterwards.
Yes.
Of if this deal doesn't get done, which it looks like it's probably not going to get done, try telling those guys and selling them on playing for you after
and,
you just
and
burn
playing
those
hard
bridges.
For LeBron. Yeah. Absolutely, and that's the part you're going to have after this.
The Lakers and Magic Johnson have butchered this. You can try and spin it any way you want. If you're a media member in LA, you can try and kiss ass and see how many sets of tickets and how many jerseys and bobbleheads you can get signed by Magic and LeBron. Bottom line, when you signed up for this in the offseason, this isn't what you panned out. This isn't what you expected. You expected the Lakers to be up towards the top of the Western Conference, and right now they're a non-playoff team and a non-playoff factor, and LeBron James has already missed close to a quarter of a season that's barely halfway over.
And as he gets older, like the window's closing faster than people want to admit. He's not going to win a championship in his fourth year or third or fourth.
No.
It was the first 2 years or it's not going to happen, and that's why they're panicking. That's why they're desperate. But I warn AD, be careful what you wish for, because whenever you play with LeBron James, who people say is the GOAT, you become the scapegoat. That's all you do, especially if you don't win. You know it. LeBron is the GOAT, and then when you don't win, it's your fault.
And by the way,
you like
I love it. By the way, everyone says, well, you know, LeBron, but he's a different type of athlete. You know, he's a different guy. Okay, he's played 15 years. Playoffs included, it's closer to 18. So we're looking at 18 years in, he's already got an injury that we were told, because you and I were on the air when he got injured. We were told, day-to-day, dodged a bullet, everything's going to be okay. Dude missed 17 games. I'm sorry. If you're a Laker fan, you look me in the eyes and tell me, or look at your radio or your phone right now and tell me, oh yeah, this is totally what I expected when we got LeBron. BS.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Well, let's get to a guy who, Rob Parker, you know well. You've come to know and grow quite fond of.
Oh, is that Tom Brady?
Yeah, man, is Tom Brady. Tom Brady, who has been called the GOAT by many people.
Now, absolutely.
Are you one of those people that calls him the GOAT?
I'm not one of them, I would say. And here's the other part, because I was on Colin Cowherd earlier today. Tom Brady is a great quarterback. I've said this, and I don't know why people – he's a great quarterback. He's the most accomplished quarterback in the NFL. All of that. I'll give you all of that. But when I look at it, when you say the GOAT, I still would take Joe Montana over Tom Brady. Joe Montana's resume is spotless. Can I give it to you, Jonas?
Sure.
4-0 in Super Bowls. He won 3 MVPs, 11 touchdowns, no picks, won 2 with Jerry Rice, won 2 without Jerry Rice, and won with 2 different coaches. What? Is that not spotless?
It is. It's good.
And
it's very good.
In 2 of those Super Bowls, he didn't need to set up a field goal to win. He needed a touchdown to win. He had to get a touchdown, and he did it twice, where he throws a game-winning touchdown to win the Super Bowl. I don't even know. So I'm saying Tom Brady's is great, but not the greatest. That's my point.
Now let me ask you this.
And remember, the GOAT conversation, there is no right answer. Can we get to that?
Yes. There's not really a right answer, but I just will say this, and I want to speak in your language. So say and I'm just gonna think of something off the top of my head. Like what would be was it the Magic? What do they call it? The Magic Castle in Atlanta? Where's it? What's it?
Oh, Magic City.
Oh, Magic City. That's
Magic
right. So say you're at Magic City, where dreams come true in Atlanta, and say the waitress brings over. Yeah. Say the waitress brings over. First of all, don't throw dollar bills at me. You know where to put them.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay. Yeah, very good. All right, good. That's good. Okay,
we need the camera going. For
so
that.
Say the waitress brings you over. 4 kamikaze shots.
Oh,
all right.
Yes.
But then another waitress brings over 6 kamikaze shots. Which order of kamikaze shots would be worth more, 6 or 4?
Well, 6 is always more than
okay.
4. But
I
my
just was wondering, because Tom Brady's got 6 Super Bowls. I was wondering how much Joe Montana
Well, how many did she drop? So she dropped 3 on the way over
yeah,
here.
But, she should have had 9.
Right? She was bringing 9 to the table, but she dropped 3. And the other waitress had 4 on her tray and didn't drop any. That's the waitress I want.
Yes.
She didn't cost me anything.
Yeah, but the tab was more.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
And Jonas, you know this. Are you going to the Playboy Mansion? Okay, so you went. You're outside the mansion. You're there at the door. Is it about you going to the Playboy Mansion or actually going in? Which one? Do you want to go to the Playboy Mansion 9 times, or do you want to go in all 4 times that you went?
At this point, I would landscape the Playboy Mansion out front.
Okay, there you go.
I'll be a landscaper at this point.
My point is, this is why I think people are wrong when they talk about Brady's appearances. No one gives Jim Kelly or their coach in Buffalo.
Marv Levy.
Yeah. Any credit for going to 4 straight Super Bowls.
Especially you, who says okay? Marv Levy shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame.
Absolutely not. He has a dubious honor. He lost 4 straight Super Bowls. Where does a guy who actually won a Super Bowl, does he get in?
Those Bills are a dynasty.
All right, but here you go. So, nope, they're never in the conversation of being the greatest of all time. You know why? Because winning matters. It's not about going. Winning matters. So when everybody tries to poo-poo winning, it's like the LeBron fans. Well, he went to the finals 9 times. No! Michael went 6 times, won all 6, and won all 6 MVPs.
Yeah, but Michael still has more titles than him. Tom Brady's got more titles than Joe Montana. So
I get it.
That's where it cancels it out.
But he also lost twice to Eli and once to a backup quarterback.
Now, we are sitting here arguing about the GOAT conversation when it comes to Tom Brady. Tom Brady had a sit-down with Michael Strahan on Good Morning America to talk about being called the GOAT. Here was Brady.
A lot of people, myself included, call you the GOAT. Greatest of all time.
I don't even like that. I don't even like it.
Feel?
It makes me cringe. It makes me cringe.
Really?
It makes me cringe. I guess I take compliments worse than I take. I wish you would say, you're trash, you're too old, you're too slow, you can't get it done no more. And I would say, thank you very much. I'm going to go prove you wrong.
You're driven by criticism more than you're driven by success.
Yeah, absolutely.
So there's that, Rob Parker. He's driven by criticism more than success. He doesn't like to be called the GOAT. And so it sounds just like a humble guy, just a humble man.
No, he knows he's not the GOAT because
he's done it the right way. There's been no asterisks on anything he's done throughout the course of his career.
What are you talking about?
I think he should be commended
for it. You mean all the scandals?
Listen.
And Jonas, here's the other thing.
Scandal schmandal.
We got 2 of those Super Bowl championships that he won. He won 2 championships with a grand total of one touchdown in the two games that they
and
won.
That shows me a guy who's not selfish and isn't trying to win the game on his own.
Is that what it is?
Is caring, and I'm glad for Tom Brady.
Unbelievable. I think when you look at it, he had no touchdowns. They couldn't even fake and give him the championship. It was supposed to be, this Super Bowl was supposed to be a coronation for Tom Brady. Instead, it turned into a slumber party and somebody farted.
Yeah.
That's how bad it was.
Listen, I hate when that happens. Listen, and the whole Tom Brady, the defense saved him, the defense won this Super Bowl for him, you are absolutely correct. That was also the same defense that totally let him down a year ago. It was the same defense that couldn't stop a backup quarterback on the biggest stage in sports and let Nick Foles go up and down the field. So Tom Brady did his part a year ago. The defense failed him. Now we're even, and Brady's got six rings.
Not even. They also won the one that I talked about when they won in 2002. That was a season when they stopped the greatest show on turf,
yes.
That defense.
Yeah.
Again, they were down. They were 14 or 16-point underdogs in that Super Bowl. Nobody thought the Patriots and the defense held that team to 17 points.
And listen, I will agree with you on this, because the one thing I didn't agree with on the Tom Brady narrative is that, oh, he led his team down the field for the game-winning score. Man, Vinatieri kicked a 47-yard field goal. And then the other time he led his team down to score against Carolina, John Casey kicked the ball out of bounds, and
yes,
they started at the 40. So a lot of that is overblown. But to do what they have done at this stage in his career, it's why I've always felt that Krzyzewski is – how can you dispute that Krzyzewski is the greatest coach of all time? Because he's done it in different eras. Tom Brady's done it in different eras, man. I mean, there are players who have come and gone twice since Brady won his first and last.
Not that he's not great. I've never said he wasn't great. I just don't believe he's the greatest.
Now,
when you look at resumes and you talk about perfection, then a lot of people say, well, that means that he got knocked out in the rounds earlier than that. I get all that. But I'm talking about when you're on that stage, people wilt and melt down on that stage. We see it all the time.
Yeah.
You saw Jared Goff and you saw Todd Gurley. You saw, right? You saw all of those guys.
Sean McVay melted on
that
stage, too.
And that's my point, that when you're telling me that Joe Montana went to four and he also won without Jerry Rice, the greatest receiver of all time, right? The GOAT, he won with him, he won without him, he had three MVPs. I mean, that's an incredible resume. It just is.
And now, let's go behind the scenes here, because there was a question posed to Rob Parker during the break, and this really is where it puts you in a tough spot. So imagine, and people have found themselves in this spot before, to where you're really torn between two people. You can't decide who you want to spend your life with, and you're torn. Like, it's split in half your heart, and you're thinking, God, am I looking long-term? Am I looking short-term? Is it looks? Is it finances? What all comes into play? So Alex Teichert, our technical producer, posed a question to you. You're playing dodgeball.
Okay.
All right. In fact, Alex, you posed the question to Rob, because I don't want to steal your glory.
Oh, it's okay. So I said, Rob Parker, you're playing dodgeball. You have two picks left in front of you, and you have to pick one. Do you pick Tom Brady, or do you pick LeBron James?
I play with a team with one player short. I would have to take one of those two. Wow.
Yes, one
you got to pick one.
Yeah, I think LeBron has a better arm than Tom Brady. Tom Brady would throw the ball out of bounds or hit it out of bounds. You know what I mean?
Now, here's what a professional Rob Parker is. If we were to do this same question next hour and we're hammering LeBron James, he's taking Brady next hour. 100%. 100%.
I don't doubt it. It just depends. But it is interesting. And people think that I think Brady's a bum and he can't play. That's not it. It's just that when I look at my criteria for what I call somebody the GOAT, it's just different. And Tom Brady, for all his success, and he's had a lot of success, and I just said that. He's a great player and the most accomplished. There's no doubt about it. But I don't think that he's the greatest of all. I really don't. I think that things have worked out for him. If you open the door for him, he'll beat you. There's no doubt about it. But there's plenty other, and you just talked about it too. Oh, well, he marched it down. He had game-winning drives and all this. Oh, God, like you said, guy kicked an 81-yard field goal, and Tom Brady, they put the camera on Tom Brady. Like he did it.
Yeah, there's a lot of narratives about Brady that I think are a tad overblown, but he's phenomenal. What they've done is incredible. You can't deny that, especially in this day and age, to where if you get to one Super Bowl, you keep your job for an extended period of time. Jeff Fisher got to one Super Bowl. How long did he hold on to life in the NFL
as a head coach? That was one of those, because he went to the Super Bowl. He didn't even win a Super Bowl. He just went.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific.
We turn things over to a Hall of Famer. He is Eric Dickerson, a former L.A. Ram great, joining us here on Fox Sports Radio. You also see his work on Fox Sports 1. Eric, thanks so much for the time, man. We appreciate it.
What's up, buddy?
Hey, what's up, bro? How you doing, man? How you guys doing?
We're good. Thanks for popping on. So just want to ask you a question. Overall, your feeling, if you got to place blame on anybody for the Rams' performance, and you're a brutally honest guy, you don't pull any punches, you're always going to speak your mind. If you had to place blame, who gets the blame for the Rams and their performance in Super Bowl 53?
You got to put it on the head coach. I mean, you have to. I mean, and that stuff like that happens. I mean, it's like a player. A player has a bad game, so is the head coach coaching. And I think the blame have to be on Sean McVay, because, you know, they tried to make Jared Goff, you know, beat Bill Belichick. And I just never thought that was going to happen. I thought that we would run the ball more. I mean, I talked to Todd Gurley the night before the game and asked him, how is he feeling? I said, I'm 100%. So I knew that. I said, the only way to beat this team is run the football. I mean, because that's how you beat them, keep it on the ground. Their defense was not all that all year. Then all of a sudden, you know, we want to throw the football and get too fancy, and, you know, bad stuff happened. Really nothing happened. It's like that,
right?
Nothing happened.
It was amazing. And Ed, if I'm the coach and I hear what you're saying about Sean McVay, but you already know that when Todd Gurley gets 18 carries or more, they're 9-0. How do you not work in 18 carries in the Super Bowl for that guy?
Man, you know what? Forget 18 carries, Rob. You get him 25. You get him 30 carries if you need. You go in two tights to protect your quarterback and run the football. You do stuff you haven't done all year. I mean, you know, a lot of these coaches, Sean included, is not a big fan of sticking to the run. I mean, it's just rare that they do it. You know, they want to show you how brilliant they are, fancy their offenses are. And we've got a great offense pretty much all year. But at the end of the season, we were kind of hit and miss. And so, you know, I just felt like this was the time to go back and do old-school football, run the defense. You know, I got to say, Wade Phillips' defense came to play.
If you give up 13 points, you win a Super Bowl. Am I right?
If I'm on that defense, I'm pissed.
I'm pissed. What?
Man, I'm pissed. Matter of fact, my friend Leroy Irving said today that the offense should get a check for the defensive guys. You know, I'm serious. I mean, they did that. They did a great job of. If you'd have told me, if Miss Rudolph would have told me, or Miss Cleo would have said,
yep,
I see the score. I see the Patriots gonna have 13. I can't see y'all score, but that's what they're gonna have. I would say, oh, we're gonna beat the hell out of them.
And
we're going to beat the hell out of him.
You held Tom Brady with no field goals, right? Yeah. I mean, no touchdowns. When you look at all of the stuff and say, what? We didn't win the game?
I'm telling you, Eric, that's the closest thing to a shutout without being a shutout I've ever seen.
Man, it was a shutout in a sense, because you look at it, the only way we scored was through a 53-yard field goal.
Yep.
If we don't get that, we don't score nothing. And another, we don't even get in the red zone at all. I mean, it doesn't happen. And I got to say, Jared Goff, he missed Brandon Cooks.
Oh.
Missed him, but he just came up too late. If he would have been on time, that would have been a touchdown. Also, one of those catches, Brandon Cooks has to make that catch. I mean, in that kind of game, I mean, you know, we all have those, but in that game, you need to make that catch. That's his old team. What better team to make it against?
Exactly. You know? You got to squeeze that one. I'm sorry.
Yes.
He is Eric Dickerson, Hall of Famer, Pro Football Hall of Famer, joining us here on Fox Sports Radio. Rob Parker, Jonas Knox, in for Chris Broussard. Eric, so you talked to Todd Gurley the night before the game. If he was healthy and they didn't play him, what gives, man? Like what is happening with this situation? And could this be a sort of a breaking point there between him and Sean McVay if he just refused to play a guy who was healthy, like he says?
Man, I don't know. I don't want to speculate anything. That's not my job. You know, I just felt like that it's just something they didn't do. It happens, you know. You want to get too fancy. I can go back to we played I think it was the Giants, in 1986. We played them at home. kind of the same scenario, not quite. I ran the ball all the way down to like the 2 yard line, and we're first and 10 on like the 2 yard line, and we run the ball with the fullback. We run it twice with the fullback, then did a play action, had to kick a field goal with maybe like 4 minutes left in the game. We never got the ball back. We lost by, I think, about 3 points. We would have won the game. We would have scored that touchdown.
Right.
And we get to the press conference, and they asked John Robinson, you know, why didn't you get a ball to Eric? And he said, well, you know, we were trying to fool him. And that's what a lot of coaches do.
Trying to fool him?
We want to try to fool him, you know.
No, you go with your best players.
If they'd have gave that ball to Todd 20, 25, 30 times, yeah, we'd have lost. I said, you know what, I'm good with that. We lost with our best player. We lost. You don't put that ball in the hand of a young third-year quarterback to try to beat a Bill Belichick football team. Man, you just don't do that. I just, you know, and I'm not the coach. All of us got, you know, 20-20 vision after the game's over.
Sure.
From my game plan would be, you know what, we going to run the hell out of this ball. They, you know what, they ran it. Even when it wasn't working, they still ran it.
Yep.
They kept running. They keep running the football, but we don't.
What do you make – Go ahead, Eric.
Go ahead. Sorry. Go ahead.
I was going to say, what do you make of the 10-year low TV ratings for the Super Bowl, which is shocking when there was some piece of history there with Brady and the Patriots winning their sixth, and yet is it fatigue on Brady, fatigue on the Patriots? Why do you think so many people tuned out? And, of course, the game wasn't great, but I was shocked that it was a 10-year low as far as TV ratings for the Super Bowl.
Nobody wants to see the Patriots anymore. You can call it what you want to see. Nobody wants to see them. I mean, people tired of seeing them. I mean, you know what it's like? It's like watching the same movie over and over, but you kind of get a different ending, but you kind of know it's the same character.
Right.
Like, man, we want some new actors. You know, we want something new. It's like, hey, every man wants – hey, you want a new woman every once in a while. You don't need the same bang over and over. So
hey, nothing wrong with a little strange every so often.
Oh, a little strange every once in a while.
Hey, Eric, that's why Rob was at Magic City over the weekend. Come on, you know. That's why.
Yeah.
Hey, Ed, let me ask you this.
No, I was picking up the money to help out.
Oh, that's right. Who's looking out for him? Eric, let me ask you this. What concerns you the most about the Rams moving forward?
You know, just try to keep a lot of the pieces together. You know, we're going to lose some guys this year. I mean, we really are. That just happens in football. You know, it is extremely hard to get back to that Super Bowl. I mean, it's hard to get back to even, you know, having a winning season. So, and it goes to players getting hurt, you know, pieces, you know, falling apart, offensive linemen getting hurt, you know, key guys that some people won't even know, defense and offense. But trying to keep that same team together or similar to that same team, that's going to be tough. Let's be honest with you. I mean, it's tough to win 13 games in the National Football League. It's tough to win 10 games in the NFL. And trying to do that, you know, and win the division, and, you know, it's going to be tough to get back there again. I think we can, but, you know, we got to try to keep some of these same pieces we have.
Yeah, the opportunity was there in front, and it was disappointing. Of all the things, disappointing from the standpoint that scoring wouldn't have been the issue. I could see them losing. Do you know what I mean? But say that they would have got 3 points was what shocked.
Here's the thing. I'm a little disappointed in Eric Dickerson, first of all, because well, let me ask you this quickly. If you were playing today, would you be wearing the neck roll? Please tell me you'd be wearing the neck.
Good for you. Yeah.
Damn straight.
Yeah.
Neck rolls and cowboy collars. Yeah, and cowboy collars.
Goggles. Yeah. Well, you say cowboy collars. Is that what you said?
No, cowboy collars. You know, like Daryl Moose Johnson had a cowboy collar.
That big
collar.
No, that's ugly. No, my thing was cool. If you see my collar, was spread out, looked like Superman.
So good. But here also, you compared on the herd with Colin Cowherd. You compared Sean McVay's coaching performance with a movie from the 90s. What was the movie that you compared it to?
Face Off. You ever see the movie Face Off?
Yes.
Oh, my God. You know the movie I'm talking about.
Yes.
I compared that because I said all of a sudden, Sean McVay, I think Jeff Fisher slipped in and put his face on it.
Down
there coaching that team.
That was a Jeff Fisher offense right there.
That was a Jeff Fisher game. Yeah, man. Like, golly, okay. I know this ain't Sean McVay.
Oh, man. He is Eric Dickerson, ED. Fox Sports 1, Fox Sports Radio, NFL analyst, hey, a Pro Football Hall of Famer.
Hey, hey ED, your Lakers are getting blown out in Indiana.
I know, man. Is there any chance you're going to get – I just thought, take that back. They pulled out the Anthony Davis deal.
Yeah, and you know out. You know what was great? Man. The fans in Indiana when Ingram was at the free throw line, you got the sound, started chanting. You ready? Here we go.
He averaged 16 points last year in year two. He's at 17.2.
You know what he said, ED? They were saying, LeBron's going to trade you. LeBron's going to trade you.
Oh, my God.
That's funny.
Oh, man.
That's brutal.
That is. All right, bud. Thanks
Eric. We appreciate it, man.
Okay, man. All right, bye.